treaty linkages between France and Germany, the cooperation between those two states has been the basis for post-war reconciliation and really the nucleus, as we've seen, of any hopes for genuine political integration in Europe. So this problem, the German question or the German problem, as it has frequently been described, has at least in the 1990s been resolved. It appeared with the growing emphasis on international cooperation, on European integration, on organizations such as the European Union, the various economic organizations and military organizations that have tried to transcend national frontiers and work towards some sort of integrated European identity, that ethnic and national rivalries had been overcome in Europe. This, as we've already had occasion to indicate, this expectation, this hope, this assumption was rudely shaken by the violence in the Balkans that have resurfaced in a particularly virulent form. These long simmering hatreds are most obvious in the former Yugoslavia, but certainly present throughout the entire area of Eastern Europe, especially in the former Soviet republics. Has nationalism, which began, we began the course looking at the emergence of nationalism as a an integral element of the new liberal agenda. We've traced its trajectory across the 19th century, watched its co-optation by conservatism, its radicalization in the form of fascism. What is the role of nationalism? What is the role of ethnicity now, an ethnic ethnic orientation, ethnic rivalry in this new European context? What's the proper role of NATO? What's the proper role of the European Union? NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was born with and created with a very, very specific mission. And that mission was to provide a military safeguard against Soviet aggression in West, in Northwestern Europe. The purpose was to involve the United States in the defense of Europe, to discourage Soviet adventurism, and to protect Western Europe. It had the effect, of course, of binding the United States to the, to post-war Western Europe, and of creating military cooperation between former enemies in Europe. But what is the role of NATO in the 1990s? What is the role of NATO with the collapse of the Soviet Union? What mission does it have? What is the likelihood of a long-term presence for the United States in Europe? Most Europeans, even the French, who enormously enjoy tweaking the nose of the United States in these matters, the French, as well as the Germans and the British, all have a vital interest in the continued presence of the United States in Europe in the form of NATO. Will there be competing military organizations in Europe? It seems likely. There are already the beginnings in a common Franco-German military brigade. These are questions that policymakers struggle with every day and begin to think about in now in new terms as Europe enters a new period, a period of transition, a period where all of the old, long-accepted idioms of post-war Europe now seem less and less relevant. What are going to be the new missions, the new roles of the United States and the various European powers as they confront these military and security issues? The future of the European Union, despite periodic setbacks, seems quite solid. As the 21st century approaches, the European Union is moving ahead with considerable pace, especially on the economic front. Steps, very tangible, concrete steps, are moving to introduce a common European currency, a step which is considered absolutely essential for the next phase of European integration. Very, very closely coordinated economies, and then possibly, of course, a genuine political and military union in Europe. As long as one was talking about Western Europe before the collapse of communism, these issues were complicated. They were fraught with difficulty.